Hello, my imaginary friends. It's the 26th of November 2011. I'm Simon. This is my Audioboo audio blog. Of course, this is Napod Pomo Day 26. First of all, I wanted to report that today, Yana and I went to, and the kids, went to Perry Gascoigne's housewarming party, and Sarah Watkins' housewarming party. And it was good. It was really good. And the kids had a lot of fun as well. They absolutely loved it. So that was really nice. Really nice. So thank you, Perry, for and Sarah for inviting us. The other thing I wanted to quickly reply to RTUK's Boo yesterday, where she's mentioned that she's solo wrangling the kids this weekend. And I just wanted to say, oh, goodness me, payback so very soon after your spa weekend. Not sure. Yeah, it sounds like you're owed another spa weekend almost immediately. I want to move on to talk about myself. And firstly, I wanted to kind of recognise the fact that I've been sort of oversharing a bit recently with my audio booze. I've been kind of obsessing over my own predicament, and people may even have thought I was fishing for sympathy. You know, but it certainly seems I've been, you know, terribly self-indulgent, really, with my booze. So I'll try not to do it anymore, because I don't really think it's appropriate, really that appropriate, for these kind of broadcast booze. Maybe one-to-one conversation, but not really these broadcast booze. So I'll try not to do that. I'll try and talk about something a bit more sort of outward-looking, really. So the thing I want to talk about today is sort of inspired by thoughts by a lot of the people that I listen to booze recently. So first of all, Pawari mentions boo fatigue, in the sense of not feeling like there's anything to say in the booze that one records. You know, during the Napod Pomo extravaganza that we're in at the moment. But interestingly, RTUK turns this on its head and talks about a different type of boo fatigue, in the sense of having too much content to listen to. Now, I find that, you know, very interesting, having it turned around and looked at it from the other side. Now, Nick Holloway-Vox reminds us in his most recent boo that audio boo as a medium enables a sort of symmetric two-way dialogue. He says that the arrow points both ways, meaning that there can be what I like to call a peer-to-peer communication, rather than a sort of top-down, asymmetric broadcast. And I think that Nick is partly right. I think there is a segment of the audioboo community that does use audioboo for a real dialogue, two-way communication. But there is also a segment where it's more of a sort of a monologue. Some people record boos that clearly don't invite any reply, maybe a few comments at most, but not a symmetrical response. Some listeners don't even have an audioboo account, so they couldn't respond if they wanted to in an audioboo way. So, you know, in those scenarios, they're not going to align with Nick's view of this two-way communication. It's a segment. The dialogue is a segment of audioboo, and there's another segment where it's more of a broadcast. Now, I think that things like Nablo Pomo and Napod Pomo, and even probably the seed of those two ideas, which was NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, they were all really intended, I think, as an exercise for the producers of the content, not for the consumers of the content. The intention, I believe the intention of these was to give those producers the impetus to produce content at a more sustained level than they would ordinarily have done. And it's sustainable because it's a time-boxed activity. There is a deadline, and there is an end in sight. It won't go on forever. So that's why it can be sustainable. And it's an exercise in production. I don't think it's an exercise in consumption. And if it was for consumption, if it was for the consumers, then they would be called NabloRemo, Napod Limo and Nano Remo for, you know, reading month, listening month. So when RTUK speculates that maybe she won't do Napod Pomo again next year, it seems as if it's because she feels obligated to honour that sort of bi-directional communication in our own audio boo sub-community, and feels guilt for not listening to all the boos that she's following. Now, this leads me on to my main discussion point, which is about etiquette. Is it acceptable and accepted to listen to only some of the boos you're subscribed to? Or should you actually unfollow the people you're not listening to so that they know you're no longer listening? I think it's perfectly acceptable to dip in as you choose, but I accept that everyone will have their own opinion, and quite right. RTUK reminds us that Floyd UK always says Twitter is like a stream. So, you know, you can dip your cup into the stream and drink a bit of what was going by at the time, but you can't be expected to drink the whole stream. And Audioboo is the same. So I will freely admit that there is a bunch of people that I follow on Audioboo that I will selectively listen to, depending on the subject line and the photo, if there is one. Let's call this Group A. Those are the people I feel are broadcasting at me, not trying to engage me in a symmetrical conversation. People that go around interviewing interesting people they meet or recording events of one kind or another. It's really, really good content, but it's broadcast. Each episode is self-contained. You don't need to listen to all of them in sequence to get the proper effect, like you would with an episode of, you know, with the episodes of The Archers. And you certainly don't expect them to be speaking directly at you. But I like to see their boos flow by, and I will listen to the ones I think look interesting at the time, if I have time available to listen to them. But there is another group of people, let's call them Group B, with whom I do believe I'm engaged in peer-to-peer communication with. And I want to hear every boo they post, regardless of the subject line or the thumbnail image they choose. I'm also aware that they may expect me to be listening, and they may even talk to me directly or talk about me. When there's a mismatch between how that person and I see each other, for example, if they think I'm B and I think they're A, then there's a problem. There was an example a few months back with Jacqueline B, who replied to me in one of her boos. But I didn't hear it until Nick Holloway Vox actually excerpted her boo into his own boo. Now, I think it was an excusable oversight on my part, because she didn't mention me in the subject line of her boo. But if she had mentioned me, or even better, mentioned my Twitter name in the subject line, then perhaps that would have been inexcusable. Clearly, in that case, I thought we were Group A, but she thought we were Group B. Now, hopefully, I think we both think we're Group B. So, what do you all think about this? Am I right to categorise people in those two groups? Group A, Group B. Do you think the same, or do you think there are three groups, or there are different groups? And do you think it's important that people should ensure that they kind of have each other in the same categories? I look forward to hearing what everyone thinks about that. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves, and I'll speak to you again tomorrow. Toodle-poo.